doing in sending his son into the world. He wants us to be different. He wants to change us so that we become more like Jesus. Or to use more religious sounding language, so that we become holy and righteous. That's what the cross is all about. Remember last week, 2 Corinthians 5, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. And the fact of the matter is that if we are not being changed, if we are not transforming into the image of Christ, then to put it bluntly, we completely miss the point of everything that Christianity is about. Alright, this isn't an optional extra for people who are really keen and interested and excited and particularly zealous about their spirituality. This is just Christianity. And if for you, Christianity is not about becoming more like Jesus, then there's a serious, serious problem with the way you're thinking about being a Christian. And this is really hard for us to take on board, I think. We're so used to thinking about how Jesus accepts us as we are, and Jesus loves us as we are, and Jesus values us as we are. And, you know, there's some truth in that. But he doesn't want to leave us as we are. You know, let's be honest. When we are being most realistic with ourselves, we don't even like ourselves. Right? What on earth makes us think that God's okay with us when we're not even okay with us? God wants to change us. And he wants to change us so much that he sent Jesus into this world to die and to rise again so that by his Holy Spirit he could make us different. This is absolutely critical for us to grasp, to understand. Christianity is not just this cycle that we go around where we sin and we're forgiven. And then we sin and we're forgiven. And we sin and we're forgiven. And we're sin. We sin and we're forgiven. And we just keep going around that circle until we die. Right? What kind of rubbish religion would that be? Right? That is not. Jesus didn't die. We started thinking about this. Jesus didn't just die to deal with our past. He died to change our future. He died to make us different. And that's the issue, really, that Paul is picking up as we get into Romans chapter 6. If you still got your Bible open in front of you, then, you know, this is the question, isn't it? This is the question that starts Paul's train of thought in chapter 6, verse 1. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? Is Christianity, okay, I sin and God is gracious and forgives me. I sin and God is gracious and forgives me. I sin and God is gracious and forgives me. Is that what Christianity is all about? And Paul's answer is an absolute belter. It's just like, by no means. Right? No, Paul's answer is that no matter what way you cut up Christianity, that's not what it's about. Okay? It's not just a cycle of sin and forgiveness. Sin and forgiveness. It's about being changed. It's about being transformed. That's what grace does to us. Now, we need to be really, really careful how we think about this, though. Because it's very easy to fall into a trap, a really, really common trap about Christianity. So let's just keep reading. I want you to notice what Paul doesn't say as we get into Romans 6. Does it? You know, shall we keep sinning? By no means! Alright? Verse 2. Now, this is not what verse 2 says. By no means. Because if you keep on sinning, God is going to dump you on the spiritual scrap heap. That's not what he says. But I'll tell you, my experience as a pastor is that that's what a lot of Christians believe. Right? Well, I better not do this. I better not do this thing. This thing that I want to do, but I know it's wrong. I'm sure there's a commandment in the book somewhere that says I shouldn't do this. And I'm I really want to do it, but I better not, because if I do, God might not forgive me. God's grace might not extend that far. I might be relegated to kind of some sort of spiritual plan B. You know, maybe God won't keep on forgiving me because I've been doing this thing for years, decades. And there's a real fear, I find, amongst Christians that says, the reason not to sin is because I'm scared that God might not love me so much. And that's our kind of functioning spirituality. But that's not what Paul says. Right? Paul is not saying, look, you better not sin. Stop sinning because bad things might happen to you. Stop sinning because God might not love you. Stop sinning because this time, this might just be the one time where God steps back and thinks, you know what, Prentice? 20 years, 30 years you've been doing this, and I've been gracious and gracious and gracious. You know what? I'm fed up, not doing it anymore. You're done. Right? That can work in the back of our minds if that's how our relationship with God works. But Paul's note, there's none of that. Right? Paul's whole thing is not we change because we're scared of the consequences if we don't change. Paul's whole argument is we change because of something that's already happened to us. Right? We will be different in the future because of something that has happened in our past. He's not saying you've got to change because if you don't, then in the future, God's waiting with a big stick and he's going to beat you with it. He's saying, no, we change. We become different because of something that's already happened to us. Verse 2, we are those who have already died to sin. We are those who've already died to sin. Alright, Paul's like, look, when you become a Christian, or use Paul's language here, of baptism, Paul's like, when you're baptized, what's happening is that the Spirit is doing this incredible thing where he is uniting you to Christ. Uniting you to Christ so deeply, so profoundly, that actually Christ's experience has become your experience. Christ's history has become your history. So if you read Romans 6, he talks about experiences like this, that we've died with Christ. We've been buried with Christ. The things that happen to you are so united to Jesus if you are a Christian, that the things that happen to Jesus happen to you. Right? It's an extraordinary thing. But Paul's actually, this is basic Christianity. Right? Paul's like, don't you know this? Don't you know? Paul's never been to Rome. Right? Paul's never pastored that he's Christian. But he's absolutely confident that because they are Christians, they will learn this. That in becoming Christians and being united with Christ, something so deep has happened to them that they have been united with Jesus so that his history has become their history. So let me put it like this to really kind of hammer the point home. Who died on the cross? Jesus. Absolutely. You're never going to hear me call that into question. Right? But that is nowhere near the full answer to the question. Who died on the cross? Jesus. Yeah? You go on. Us. We did. If we are Christians, we are united. Paul's like, you died with Christ. You died with Christ. Spiritually, something has happened to you.
Right? You are united with Jesus, you died with Christ, and you have been buried with him. He goes into death. You're a Christian, you've gone into death with him. Right? The old preachers, like, and I'm talking really old, like 1700 years ago, kind of old, they really went to town on this. There's a couple of really helpful analogies that they use, one of which was like a needle and a thread. Alright, so you know what's a needle and a thread. Alright, the needle goes through the fabric. Some of you have heard me use this before. Alright, it goes through the fabric and comes out the other side. Like, I'm doing this like I know, like I've ever sewed anything in my life. It's like, well, it goes like this, doesn't it? No idea. Alright, but a needle goes through, comes through the fabric, pierces the fabric, goes through the other side, comes out the other side, and brings with it, I assume, the thread. Because if there's no thread, I have no idea what you're doing, piercing needles through fabric. That's something weird when you talk about that. But you know what I mean? It's like if you're sewing something, the needle goes through and it draws the thread through after. And Paul's point is, look guys, when Jesus went into death and went through death and came out the other side into this kind of new creation life, he didn't go through on his own. He brought the church with him. He brings us with him. That in his deep spiritual sense, we have gone into death with Christ. We have kind of pierced death and come out the other side into this whole other way of being human. A new creation, resurrection life. Right? We are totally different because we have put our faith in Jesus. So look at verse 5. Right? Think about what I've just been saying. And here Paul put it so succinctly. If we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, then we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection like his. This is basic, basic Christianity. This is Christianity 101. Right? This is what it means to be a Christian. So, let's go back to the question we started with. Why do we live differently? Why do we not sin anymore? Why do we live differently? Why do we aspire to and strive for and put all our energy into living like Jesus? Well, it's because this thing has happened to us. We have been made different people. Because we've been made different people, we're going to live in a different way. We're going to think in a different way, feel in a different way, relate to people in a different way. We're going to use our money differently, our time, our energy differently. It's all going to be different. Not because we're scared of what's going to happen if we don't do that, but because we have been brought through death, we have been new. We're made new creation. Again, remember last week's reading. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5? When somebody becomes a Christian, what happens? The old is gone, and the new has come. We are a new creation. Right? And that's what we're thinking about the cross and dying with Christ, our old self dying with Christ. This week we're thinking about rising with Christ into being a completely different kind of person. Right? If let me put this really bluntly. If we don't change, then we haven't become Christians. No. To become a Christian is to change. Fundamentally and completely. Right? We're no longer part of that. We've died to this whole old way of being that is dominated by the reality of sin. And we've been taken out of that and brought into a whole new life that is dominated by new creation. Jesus kind of humanity. Right? That's what we are. Now, I want you to notice, Paul's not saying sin has died. Right? He's not saying, all right, the sin has died, so you don't need to worry about that anymore. No, no. All right? It hasn't died. We all know that. But we have died. Right? Which means that sin no longer has the power to control us. Now, over the years, I've read a lot of commentaries on the book of Romans, and I've listened to a lot of hours of sermons on the book of Romans, and I have yet to find a better analogy than one that was used a couple of generations ago by a guy called Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was a Welsh preacher based in London in the 1940s, 50s, 60s. And he preached his whole way through the book of Romans. And I tell you, you think I preached for a long time. You ain't got started, eh? You've heard him. Oh, well, that means you're older than you look. That's all I can say. All right. So he had this great analogy that really rounds this point home so well. And again, you might have heard me use this because it is such a good analogy. It's about a soldier. All right, and you sign up for like your 21-year commission or whatever in the army, right? And for 21 years, your life is about doing exactly what you're told to do. That's military life, isn't it? Right, when your commanding officer tells you to do something, you don't ask for a second opinion, you don't critically engage with that, you don't question it. You're a soldier. You obey orders. That's what happens. And you're trained to do it, and all your experience is about doing it. You live in a world where that's what everyone does. Everyone does what they're told, when they're told to do it. Now, at the end of this guy's commission, he goes off to the army, to the office, he signs his papers, and he is discharged from the military. And he's walking back across the parade campground. And behind him, he hears his old commanding officer barking orders. Now, what happens is that 21 years of experience and training rise up inside this guy because he's heard his old CO giving an order. And for 21 years, all he has ever done is obey. Obey the order. And he has to really stop and think, hang on, no, I'm not in the army anymore. I might be still on MOD property and walking across the parade ground. I might still be in that world, but I am not in the army, which means I do not have to do what I am being told anymore. And that process of remembering that I might still be in this world, but I have died to it. I am no longer a part of it. I no longer have to do what this world is telling me to do, what sin is telling me to do. That process of feeling like I have to do this. I have to do what I'm told. I have to. All my training, all my experience is saying you must do this thing. But stopping and going, no, I'm not in that world anymore. That is not where I don't have to do that. That's what Paul means when he says, count yourselves. Verse 11, count yourself dead to sin. All right, think about yourself. Remember that you have died to this whole way of being. That you've been united with Christ and he's gone through death and he's taken you out of this world and into a whole new way of being and of living. And when sin comes and knocks on the door and says, you got to do what I tell you. Well, once upon a time you did have to do what you were told. Paul says you were slaves to sin. You lived under its authority. You had no choice. But now, count yourself. Remember, reckon yourself dead. Think about yourself in accordance with what has really happened to you. And remember, you don't have to live like that anymore. Jesus has died and he rose again so that you don't have to live like that anymore. You can live differently. Not because you're scared of what will happen if you don't. You can live differently because of something that has already happened to you. Now, don't mix this up with, you know, the power of positive thinking. No, you can because you think you can. You can change reality because you think differently. No, Paul said it's exactly the other way around. Your reality has changed. Your reality has changed. So you need to learn to think differently. You need to learn to think in a way that is shaped by what has actually happened to you, not by how you think and how you feel. Now, when sin comes, we so often feel like we have no choice. And Paul said, that's not true. It's not true because you've been united with Christ. You've died with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. Remember that is who you are. Think in accordance with the truth of what has happened to you in Jesus and make different decisions. Now look, this is not just basic, but this is so important. So important, because if we have, you know, it's a battle, right? It's conflict. I'm not going to pretend this isn't hard. Paul doesn't pretend it isn't hard. We've read from Romans chapter 6. In the second half of Romans 6 and into Romans 7, Paul's going to talk very openly about how much of a battle this is, moment by moment. But an awful lot depends on how we approach the battlefield. See, if we approach the battlefield assuming we've already lost, then we're never going to change. There's never going to be victory. And Paul said, you've got to go on to the battlefield knowing not that defeat is inevitable, but that actually victory is inevitable. God sent his Son to die to make this reality for you. This is who you are going to be. You are going to be like Jesus. And you've got to hang on to that because all of us have tempted to fall into the trap of thinking we can never change. Right? I've always been like this. This is who I am. This is who I've always been. And it will never be any different. Think about something specific. Think about something in your experience. Some habit, some addiction, some pattern of sin that has plagued you over the years. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's forgiveness. This thing that was done to me 20 years ago, and I have never been able to forgive that person. You know, I have this habit, this pattern of sin, this pattern of unforgiveness, and I've never been able to forgive, and I will never be able to forgive. Or maybe it's gossip. Now, I've always just been a gossip. I've always been the person who has the news and is able to spread it. My mum was a gossip, and I'm a gossip, and my kids will be gossips, and that's just the way we are. Or maybe it's pride. Or it's your relationship with food, or your relationship with alcohol, or whatever. Pick your thing. Always been there. And you're thinking it will always be there. I will never change. I will never beat this. I can't stop. Look, if that's how we think, then when that temptation comes knocking, we haven't even got our armor on. And afterwards, when you realize what you've done, maybe it's anger. And yet again, you just lost your ride and you've said and you've done things and you've hurt the people around you. Or you're looking at the empty bottle or down the toilet, or you're deleting your internet history, or pick your sin and its aftermath. And in that moment, you feel the shame and the guilt and the fear and, most crippling of all, the despair. The horrible, horrible feeling that this will never be any different. That this is who I am. This is what I am. And in that moment of something that can come pretty close to self-loathing, not me. Remember Romans 6. Remember that you've been united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And let the Spirit whisper into your soul. In that moment when you think, I can never change, just let the Spirit whisper into your soul. You're in Christ. You already have been changed. You just haven't caught up with it. You already have been changed. Learn to think of yourself in line with the reality of who you truly are. See, when we finally throw off those patterns of sin, when we do change, when we do see the victory, it is not because we are great men and women of God. It's not because we have become spiritual giants. It's not because of our tenacity and the great strength of our will. When we change, when we're transformed, when we become different people, it's not because of us alone. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. He lived for us, died for us, and rose again. See, Becoming a Christian, it's not so much about you inviting Jesus into your life. But so often, that's how we talk about it. Especially when we're talking to people about becoming a Christian. Would you like to invite Jesus into your life? Again, there's some truth in that, but it's not about us inviting Jesus into our life. Becoming a Christian is much more about Jesus inviting us into his life. Into his life. Into his death. And into his resurrection. Into a new life. A new creation. Resurrected Jesus-like humanity. That is who you are. Don't you know? Don't you know? That is who you are. So count yourself. Learn to think of yourself as dead to sin and alive